create some chaos as well as peace.
Right. Yes, yes. Let's send them off. Let's send them off with great, huge blessing. Yes, yes. Let the dry bones come alive in this church. Hallelujah. We have been blessed by the Lord with His Word, and God is doing some awesome thing in this church. Last Sunday, after the worship, somebody came out to me and said, "Pastor, that was epic." Yeah, I love epic. How about you? Yeah? Yes, I like that. We are doing the Walking Dead series, and today we want to talk about breathe, the breath of God, right? Breathe. And the power of breathing, healing, and joy in our lives. As we are looking at the Walking Dead series, we know that the Walking Dead series is very popular because there is a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of chaos and anarchy. It's a moment-to-moment survival, and people relate to that. It's messy out there, it's gory out there, it's confusing out there, and this show is all in portraying all the ugliness of what's happening. It's not like in a church where we come proper and be like somebody else, but they're real and authentic out there, and the show is very popular because it tells it like it is. And one of the things that we see at Santa Clara First Baptist Church is we don't hide anything. We tell people who we are. We're getting comfortable to be vulnerable. Your pastor is crying on a platform, right? And why is pastor crying out there? We don't say that anymore, right? We say like, okay, this is real. Hurt is going on. Pain is going on. And people walk in here and say, I can connect with Santa Clara First Baptist members. They are real. They don't put on a facade. And we don't want that. We want to be real. That's why people are flocking and watching. 17 million people watching the Walking Dead series, because it connects to them. It tells them their story of where they are and what they're struggling. In Father Gabriel's church, in that TV show, there is a scripture that is on the wall of the church. One of the scriptures is Ezekiel 37 verse 7. And I looked at it and I say, oh wow, this is great. What is the scripture? What does it say? And the scripture talks about prophesy to the dry bones. Breathe on it and the dry bones will come alive. See? And we want the dry bones to come alive in this church, at home, wherever we are. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Ezekiel 37. If not, you go to our church app. In the church app, there is a sermon outline, and you can follow along at the church app too. If you're new and you don't know, we have a church app, Santa Clara, First Baptist Church Santa Clara. Church app is there. You can download, listen to sermon, follow along the sermons. We want to preach it today. Breathe, breath of God. Have you had time to breathe? I know last week was fuzzy, wuzzy for all of you. Some of you just staggered in here not knowing how to internalize or, relate with the feelings of confusion or dilation or elation that you have. I think this week you have had time to calm down a little, breathe, and I want to talk about the Word of God relating to what's been happening to this country in the past 2 weeks and around the world. So four reasons to breathe and come alive. We want to look at four reasons why we should breathe and come alive. Because God talked to Ezekiel and he said, son of man, can this bone live? Can this dry bone live? God's asking the Ezekiel, Those dry bones, can this bone come alive? Some of you are joyful this morning. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are happy. Some of you are angry. Some of you are afraid. And some of you are not. How do we have such an opposite feeling on the same day, in the same place, in the same country? That you're so delightful and joyful, and somebody is just deflated. Some people are delirious and excited, but some people are confused, dejected, devastated. Some people are in despair, and some people are ecstatic. How can we have two different feelings so far apart from each other? And then we forget that God is in control of our life. Because the psalmist says in Psalm 2, he says, "Why do the nation rage?" And that psalm that was written around 900 BC or so, so relevant today, because at that time the nations were raging at God too. And today you come here and why do the nation rage? And God is sitting on the throne and looking down on us and say, do the people think that I have lost control? That I am not in control? Why are they raging? Why are they pointing their finger at me and saying, God, you're absolutely hopeless and useless. Where are you? And then God said to Ezekiel, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. You shall live. Then you shall know that I'm the Lord. Ezekiel 37 verse 6. The wall of Jerusalem is broken. King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon came, destroyed the temple of Jerusalem, and took the people to captivity to Babylon. 597 BC. Okay? So lots of people, able people, talented professionals, were taken to Babylon. But before that, around 722 BC, the Assyrian had come down to Israel, Judah, and taken a lot of people too. A lot of people were taken at that time into captivity. The tragedy is that when the Assyrian came and took Israelite, we don't know where they went, because they were not taken in group like King Nebuchadnezzar. Because when Nebuchadnezzar took to Babylon, there was a band of Jewish people, Israelite, and they were able to be in the same place. They were not lost. But the Assyrian captivity, they are known as the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Because the people that were taken in 722 BC by the Assyrians, they were lost. And we're talking about the 10 lost tribes of Israel from that captivity. God understands confusion in our lives. God understands what it means to be hopeless. At the same time, I want to give four reasons why we need to breathe and live. Because the breath of life is the breath of God. Genesis 2:7, and he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. The breath of humankind is the breath of God. All in whose nostril was the breath of the spirit of life. And in Job it says, and the breath of the Almighty give life in all things. When God created us, it reminded me again that I was delightfully surprised again by the word of God that he did not breathe into the mouth. He used the nostril to breathe in life. He breathed in his breath into the nostril of a man so they come alive. So when I was preparing this message, I had a dream. Your pastor has so many dreams, but right? You know that I like dreams. So I had a dream, and I was with Elijah in my dream. Probably because I've been reading a lot of this and connecting to Elijah. And there was somebody else, and Elijah. So Elijah was old. Maybe it's because of the picture that we see as a kid. Like he has long beard and weird. He was old, right? He was standing there. And suddenly, Elijah transformed. It was like a word that comes, and out of this thing shoot up a word of God fresh, and Elijah looked so young. It was a transformation. And so he turned to Philippians to read in Philippians. And I got up and I read Philippians, chapter 1, chapter 2, how God did not consider himself to be equal and came down, and because of humility, he was lifted up among all other names and all kings. We know that, right? And I'm trying to connect all these things from Elijah. And you know that Elijah reminded me of me, of myself. In my life, if you have gone through depression, anxiety, you have given up, you're hopeless, then Elijah is one guy that you can relate to. Right? Because when Elijah was on the mountain and he was mocking the friends, the prophets of Baal, and he said, "Oh, your God must be sleeping. Come on, talk louder. You know, they must have gone on a journey. Come on, talk." He was mocking and laughing at them. It was a contest between the prophet of Baal and him. He was alone. And then he said, "Okay, pour more water on my altar." And then he prayed to God, and the fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice. Awesome, right? I mean, that is epic. But what happened next? He was running away like a dog because he was afraid of Jezebel, who wanted to kill him. What happened to the man who mocked all the prophets, who made fun of all the people there, and who was able to bring down fire from heaven, that he is running away from this woman, afraid of his life? And you know what he said? "I want to die. Lord, I want to die." And where was he? He was in the man cave. He hid himself in a cave. So, when he was in the cave, then there was this strong wind came. The strong wind came, and the wind tore the pieces of the stone into pieces. But God was not there. Then after the wind, the earthquake came. Huge earthquake, you know, rumbling. And then God was not there in the earthquake. And then the fire. Fire came. And then God was not there in the fire. So he came out, stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there was a still small voice, the voice of God. And he spoke to go back. Find Elisha to anoint Jehu, who killed Ahab and Jezebel later on. In the still small voice. You know, the mouth of the cave reminded me of our nostril. That when Elijah was standing at the mouth of the cave, God breathed on him life. Do you know that you can hear yourself breathing when everything quiet down? Like at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., if you're awake, you can hear your children breathe from the other room. You can hear your wife breathe. You can hear yourself breathe. The closest to the breath of life, to the still small voice, is the breath. The breath of life that God blows into our nostril to give us life. Have you been still? have you been still? There's a lot of noise out there. Stillness is clearing the noise to hear the voice of God. Stillness is clearing the noise to hear the voice of God. And if you just be still, you might hear God breathing on life on you. And as you stand at the entrance of your cave, the still small voice comes and say, get up. Go fulfill the things that I've called you to do. Do not let your anger, your sorrow, your fear prevent you from pursuing what God has called you to do. Your calling is not dependent on an election. Your calling is not dependent on a president. You serve the living God, the King of Kings, the God of all presidents. We are God's people. And if we do right by the Lord, we will bring right solution for the people in this country and around the world. I believe that. I believe it, that this church can be the light for the world, that this church can be the light in darkness. You are called by God, and your calling is not revocable. The Bible says your calling is irrevocable. The breath of the universe is the breath of God. By the word of God, the heavens were made. See, the breath of the church is the breath of God. That's why we breathe. We breathe because the breath of life comes from God. We breathe because humankind is the breath of God. We breathe because the universe was formed by the breath of God, by the blast of the breath of God. That's what the word says. The universe was formed by the blast of the breath of God. And this morning, I pray that you receive the blast of the breath of life. I was watching Narnia with my daughter. She hasn't watched Narnia because she's young. So when she watched Narnia, it was, you remember Lucy, that young girl, and one of his close friends when he first met with that big ear. And when he was fighting the Ice Queen, he became a statue kind of thing in that thing, you know. And when Aslan came, the lion, Aslan came and Lucy is crying because he has become a statue. What does Aslan do? He breathed on him. And then life came back. And Lucy is just so delighted. And my daughter is almost crying and laughing on the chair because to see that come alive. You have the breath of life. You have the breath of life. You can breathe on somebody and let the dry bones come alive. You are the only hope and salvation for somebody today. And you can breathe on him and her the breath of life so he or she will come alive. We have this awesome responsibility as a church of Christ to breathe on life in darkness, to those who are hopeless, to those who are cut off, to those people whose bones are dry. We have the responsibility and calling to breathe on the life of God. How do we do that? We do that by taking the word of God. The word of God goes with the spirit. They go together like this. You can't just talk about the word without the spirit. When you speak the word of God along with the spirit and it falls upon somebody, the dry ones will come alive. Have you been hearing the still small voice of God then? The people said our bones are dry. Israelites were saying our bones are dry. They were sitting by the rivers of Babylon. And they talk to themselves, how are we going to sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? Totally lost. Totally lost. Do you think God did not know that their bones were dry? So he said, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. It's just amazing to me what the Lord's been doing at our church, especially last week. Last week was awesome. I received so many emails from many of you and comments from many of you. And I felt that, like I said before, I felt that God was definitely doing something these past weeks leading up to it. I don't know how long this is going to last, but I say it again, that we are on the verge of a revival. And I said that on a Thursday morning prayer meeting, and the people say, no, 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 Pastor, revival is here already. Watch out. Be the watchman of this city. Revival is happening on the verge. We're going to give birth to something good from the Lord. Feel it. Feel it. Light the dry bones. Come alive. Oh, hallelujah. So, what God is saying is, I'm going to bring you political restoration for the people of Israel. That's what he's saying. They were in Babylon. He said, I'm going to bring political restoration. He will bring back. He did. He brought back 537. They came back to rebuild the temple. The prophecy came to pass. God will also bring political restoration every day, every year, every month to this country if God's people are faithful. Do not look at other people and blame at them. Look to the Lord and do our part. I've mentioned this to you, how as an American citizen, what is my role in this country? My role is that if I turn an alcoholic father to be a good, loving father, that's my role of building this nation. When I turn a drug addict to be clean and have proper relationship with other people, go on to have a family and a life, that's my contribution to this country. When I put together couples that are struggling in their marriage and I'm able to talk to them so they can reconcile and restore in the name of the Lord, that's my contribution to this country, that I'm building one family at a time, one person at a time, to be God-like, Christ-like, building character one person at a time. That's my contribution to this nation. We cannot lose that focus. My focus, my calling is to serve you, to pray for you every day and preach the gospel. And if there is an opportunity, so they can cross over into the kingdom of God. The events around me doesn't change that. Because they said our hope is lost. There was no hope. But it's very interesting. Before the exile, God's always talking about judgment to Israel. You disobeyed me, so I'm going to let other people, other foreign kings come and rule over you. There was judgmental word from God. But when they were in Babylon, what happened? There was no judgment. There was promises. God came to his people and said, I will restore to you your land. The hope is not lost. You see how God works with us? When our hopes are almost lost, when our bones are almost dry, what does he do? He brings in the word of hope and promise that he will restore us back. All the good things that God has provided for us in the first place. That's the God that I worship. I don't know why people talk about a judgmental God. The God that I've encountered is so full of grace and mercy. He is awesome for me. I mean, he's fantabulous. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God will bring spiritual restoration for Israel, because they were saying, we are cut off. Yes, they were cut off from the temple. They were cut off from families, from people. They were cut off from where they grow up. Every known things in their life, they were cut off. So he prophesied as God has commanded. And the breath came into them. They lived and stood up their feet. Exceedingly great army. The valley of the dry bones stood up into exceedingly great army. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. One of these days, I want 1,000 tongues to sing that song together. Santa Clara First Baptist Church. One of these days, 1,000 tongues will sing that song together. Are you with me? Oh, that's not good enough. It's like, well, Pastor, I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, you're on your own, Pastor. Right? You can hang yourself dry there, okay? But I'm telling you, God will bring the kingdom of God to his church. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. Nehemiah came, built a wall. Ezra came back. Zerubbabel, the governor, they all came back to build a wall. See, then the hope is not lost. The bones were not that dry. They were not totally cut off. God was still in control. It doesn't seem like it, but he was still in control. God is still in control in this country. Amen. Pray for the country, that God's favor will flow. Before I migrated to this country, we call America the land of milk and honey. You know? A promised land. Such a blessed land. I'm here. Every day I'm thankful to be in this country. Do not let the noise forget your gratefulness and gratitude. Live as grateful people. Live as people of gratitude. We are people of hope, faith, and love. Let's live like it. Let's not tear each other's head off. Let's not become a walking dead. Let's not become one of those walkers with no life. Let the Spirit of God come in you so that we resemble the walking Spirit of God, not a walker without the Spirit. We revive the church through his word and Spirit-inspired vision and dreams. God will bring spiritual restoration to his church. I believe it. We're going to sing a song, Dry Bones Come Alive. I'm going to ask the worship team to get ready and come up. But as they come up, I want to share this with you. I got a call right after election from Midwest, because I was in Midwest. And the first call was from Pennsylvania, and say, hey, Pastor, from my colleague, how are you doing? Say, I'm doing okay, I'm doing good. How are the people from California? I said, yeah, they're good. And she said, really? How are the people from California taking this election? And I said, well, you know, ups and downs, joy, and a lot of things happening here. And I put that down, and I'm digesting, okay, so people from other side, they're thinking of California, how we're doing here. And then I got another call from the pastor in Indiana, my friend. And he's saying, how are you guys doing? Right? I said, we're doing okay. Was the Sunday affected? He wants to know. I said, yeah, it was affected positively. We were almost full in this church last. Oh, that is good. And then he went on talking. And then I said, how's your church? And he wanted to know more. So I said, okay, I'm not going to do this PC stuff, so I'll just say it like it is a little bit, you know, just have some fun with these people from Midwest that are calling me about election. I said, okay, so you guys elected the president, I mean, Pennsylvania, Indiana, I was in Indiana, okay? I was in Michigan, and I was in Illinois. So I'm from Midwest. I started in Chicago, so I'm like a Chicagoan. So I said, you guys elected the president, and you know, but I think everybody is a winner. In California, we got wheat, so we are chilling and relaxing. It's a win-win, right? So this week on Wednesday, Pastor Rich brought a new pastor from Salinas. He's a new pastor, 3 months there. We were up on the cluster. And he said later on, wow, you guys are so close. I mean, I have never seen a pastor cluster that's so connected. And he's talking about how excited we are. And Pastor Rich is there. And I want to pull something on him and say it out. Pastor, I forgot the wheat. You got some? And then the pastor from Salinas turned and looked at me. You guys were on wheat? Your pastor's on wheat right now. The word of God says, do not be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs and choruses. That's what we're going to do. I do not want to be a dry minister here. We don't want a dull leaders. We don't want a drowsy members. We want leaders, pastors, and members that are drunk in the Holy Spirit. And we don't need weed and marijuana for that. You need the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God fill you today. Drive away every hurt and pain and anger and bitterness. Clouds.